Gute Mitte bei Be Well, dem gesunden Podcast zu Lützeburg, mittlerweile schon in der dritten Saison. Und Mikro Zara Katani, Journalistin und Yoga-Instructor. Und wie immer sind ich auf der Sicht nur Techniken, Ideen und Praktiken, wie ich mehr balanciert und auch vielleicht mit glücklich kann durch Leben gehen. Und heute interessieren wir uns für Chiropraktik. Chiropraktiker konzentrieren sich vor allem auf den Bewegungsapparat von den Patienten und geht dabei am Anfang davon aus, dass die meisten körperlichen Beschwerden Gelenkveränderungen sind oder Fehlstellungen, Blockaden und dass ihn das kann am Anfang nicht regulieren. Das Scott Oliver ist heute am Studio. Schöne gute Mitten. Einer der passionierten Chiropraktiker, den Umfang über den Sport seine Arbeit in die Richtung fand, die war am Calgary Center for Health. Und dort hat er Chiropraktik kennengelernt, war fasziniert vom Impact von dieser Praktik auf sportliche Leistungen, mir auch generell auf Gesundheit und mir weit auch auf die Liebe von den Leuten. Und heute ist Scott Oliver Direktor von dem ganzen Zentrum rund um Sport und Chiropraxis an der Stadt. Er hat den Doktor als Chiropraktiker, also 8 Jahre, und dann eben noch Kinesiologie und noch spezialisiert auf der Wirbelsäulpathologie und dann eben auch viel am Zusammenhang mit Sport. Merci, dass du dir erst Zeit gehabt hast, für heute ein bisschen was er passieren zu erzählen. We will switch to English. That will be a bit easier, I guess. Thank you very much for taking the time today to talk about, I would say, your life and your passion, if I'm correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chiropractic. So, yes, I don't know where to start, but let's maybe start at the beginning. When did you get into this field and what was your passion about that?
Well, short story is, I guess I actually first started to see a chiropractor myself when I was 13 after a car accident. Mm-hmm. And so I had, throughout high school and university sports and whatnot, always been a patient of chiropractic. We had actually a couple of chiropractors working for my university sports team. So it was actually used more as for sport performance as opposed to for pain. And we did that for both on the track team and the rowing team. And it was really about performance-based work. Eventually, at the end of, as I graduated from my undergraduate in university, I got a job working in a chiropractic clinic, well, a whole wellness center, but primarily chiropractic in Calgary. And that's when it sort of opened my eyes up as to how else chiropractic can be used mm-hmm. from a day-to-day basis for everyone. And seeing how that was changing people's lives and being involved in that got me thinking and essentially motivated me to go to chiropractic college after that to do that for a living.
It's interesting you say 13, so that was already something in North America and Canada that was there. I think in that time nobody talked about chiropractic here in Europe. So
no.
It's much bigger and much more evolved in that part of the world.
It very much is. I mean, you can go into any town and you will find multiple chiropractors. It is extremely common. In fact, the chiropractic was founded in 1895 in the U.S. by a Canadian. And so after enough time goes by and it's worked into a lot of different chiropractic colleges, it is something that is very normal mm-hmm. in North America, to a certain extent also the UK, Australia, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, a little bit less in Luxembourg. In fact, when I came here, there was one chiropractor who had been here for half a year or so before I came, and probably for the first bunch of years, we were the only two in Luxembourg. And now it's grown and mm-hmm. we have a few more now.
But it was a different setting in any case. So you talk about clinics and things like that. Mm-hmm. And here it was more like just you by yourself.
Exactly. Yes. In North America, it's very, again, it's established clinics. It's completely legislated. Mm-hmm. We're recognized as doctors. Mm-hmm. Whereas... Yeah, it's not the case here.
It's not the case here. We can go into that a little bit later. But yeah, what ailments can be treated? Because that's something like you were talking about, mm-hmm. like sports, and you had an injury, a car accident. But mainly, I mean, mostly if you talk about chiropractic, people say, oh yeah, they crack bones. Mm-hmm. Is that still the case? Do you still hear that? I mean, what happens there?
Good question. So you're going to have to cut me off whenever you want, because I could just talk on that question for an hour or two at least. What ailments? Well, let's go back to maybe the philosophy of what it is, actually. Chiropractic was never developed with the intent of helping low back pain or neck pain.
Uh-huh.
But I would have to say that's probably about 80% at least of everybody who comes to see me on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. That's why they come.
Mm-hmm.
Chiropractic was developed for the specific purpose of healing. And the idea is that the body is a self-healing organism, right? The central nervous system coordinating all functions of the body. But we basically have, well, the brain, the spinal cord, and then the nerves that stem off of the spinal cord exit the spinal cord and pass between the vertebral column, between vertebrae and the spine, to then go to all of the organs and tissues of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that since the nervous system is coordinating all the functions of the body, we want the nerves to be allowed to work properly.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, any spinal dysfunction would have an impact, an interference, or impede on that function. So we are attempting to allow the spine to work as properly as it can so that the nervous system can work better, so that that can be one major component in the self-healing and self-regulating functions of the body. Right. That's not to say anything. Of course, other elements are very, very important in health, right? Nutrition is important, exercise, sleep, mentality, right? Those are a few other things that are phenomenally important. And but this is where we put our focus
The center part would be then the spine.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
That would be the center part. And from there on, you can release blockages, see where something
right.
is.
Right. Now, I'm just saying that's where the ideology began.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, it does go back even further than that, because I mean, there are records of the Chinese doing manipulation back to 4000 BC. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, he has a famous quote that says, "For the cause of all disease, look well to the spine." And in mm-hmm. fact, what he would do is he would put mud on people's backs, and wherever the mud dried first,
mm-hmm.
he postulated that's where there's inflammation, and so the heat would dry the mud, and that's what he would manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a great idea. But unfortunately, with organs and whatnot, it's advanced a little bit since then.
It,
but
yeah.
still, the ideology mm-hmm. it remains that's where the ideology became. And then chiropractic it began in 1895. And the difference being with chiropractic is a short lever adjustment as opposed to a long lever manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets into a little bit more technical details. But the point being is, a manipulation is different than a chiropractic adjustment. So simply cracking bones is definitely not the intention. You can make cracking noises and audible noises depending on the technique that you use, but there's also multiple techniques, and some of which are very, very soft and don't cause any cavitations or audibles in the spine. I mean, we work on babies, we work on the elderly, you've got osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, all kinds of reasons why you might want to go very soft. So the way in which you input a force into the body can be altered. And that's mm-hmm. just based on physics equations, right? Whether you touch softly and you hold it for a longer period of time, or you put in a high-speed impulse with an instrument instead of doing a hard manual impulse. So there's lots of different ways to accommodate all people depending on what their comfort level is or depending on the clinical situation that you have. So cracking bones, I don't like to say that for sure, because you can take a healthy joint and crack it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, but it doesn't mean that joint was required to have any input cracking. Put into
mm-hmm.
it in the first place. And you know, you could be I don't know, you could be some kind of army guy, and your intention in cracking somebody's neck might be very different than a chiropractor who's trying to specifically mm-hmm. adjust a misaligned or dysfunctional segment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
I get you.
Yeah.
For me, it works very well, but it's just something that I heard, you know,
right.
something that people might have said. You just already talked about it, kids, babies, adults, older people. Mm. So it's something that is really for everybody.
Yeah, it is. And again, it comes down to, again, what's the intention? If somebody's coming for, again, most people are coming in because of back pain and neck pain, but you could come in for anything. Now, I am not suggesting that if you come to me for bronchitis or a digestive problem or any of this, I'm not suggesting that I'm specifically treating that, right? Because philosophically speaking, that would actually be medicine, mm-hmm. right? The medical approach, generally speaking, is what's called pathogenesis. That means it's the study of sickness, disease, symptoms, and its treatment of that, mm-hmm. generally speaking, okay? That could be another conversation. Chiropractic, the way I'm using it, is more under the model of what's called salutogenesis. Mm-hmm. Now, that is studying health. What can you do to increase health in the body, and then applying that? Examples would be improving your nutrition or exercise. The way I'm practicing chiropractic is really more to allow the body to work properly from a neuromechanical point of view, to really allow the nervous system to work properly, which means you can come for whatever you want. You can tell me you're coming to see me for vertige or for neck pain or back pain, and I'll quickly tell you I'm not treating your pain. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel better, but I'm not trying to make you feel better. I'm trying to make you function better. And now it stands to reason if we get you functioning better, then a lot of these things are going to start getting better too. The beautiful thing about it, though, is it's really results-oriented, which means no matter what you tell me, if you come in a few times, we're expecting that you're starting to see progress, right? Very similarly.
Tangible progress.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. So if you go to a piano teacher, you know, two or three lessons, you better be playing Twinkle Twinkle. Otherwise, otherwise, it needs to be investigated, right? Either that teacher is not the right teacher for you, or there's a problem as to why you can't play piano, mm-hmm. right? And I would say the same thing for I'm not going to say necessarily for chiropractic, but for a chiropractor, right? Mm-hmm. Because different chiropractors have different approaches and different styles and whatnot. So this approach might work really well for you, and somebody, a different chiropractor, might have a approach that works better for you, right? So I'm not saying everybody, but the point is you should see progress soon. Not saying you're perfect, but you should definitely see that you're going in the right direction. And if not, then you need to investigate a little bit further as to why. Now, I guess this is going on a tangent now, but for example, one of the things I would say is, I mean, I would ideally love if everybody who came in to see me on the first visit, they had an x-ray. Right. I can say, all right, listen, I see this problem and I see that problem. I know exactly what I'm doing from mm-hmm. the beginning. I know if there's any anomalies going on right from the beginning, and then we can just move forward. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, because I'm not allowed to take my own x-rays mm-hmm. in Luxembourg, actually, I'm not even allowed to prescribe x-rays in Luxembourg, but in Canada or the US,
you could.
I would have my own x-ray unit in my office and I would take my own picture.
Change. Yeah. Right?
So, mm-hmm. so that's a whole other topic. So generally speaking, if we're not making progress, then I will say, if you don't already have an ERM or an x-ray, then I would say, let's go, how about you go get one now? Because if I can see it, it's either going to show me what I can do better, mm-hmm. or it can say why this person is going to take a little bit longer. If there's gross arthrosis going on in the spine, mm-hmm. it's like, well, okay, it makes sense that it might take a little bit longer. Or maybe it's a reason as to why they need to be seeing somebody else. Mm-hmm. Now, the reality is, functionally, that doesn't happen too often, because usually people come to me last, right?
Yeah,
they've already seen the medical
yeah.
doctor. They might have already seen an orthopedist. They might have already seen, you know, this person and that person. And therefore, they usually, because chiropractic isn't well known in Luxembourg, mm-hmm. then they usually, you know, come to me last, which means all the other issues have probably already been ruled out. So it's not as common that I refer out to somebody else, but still, from a logical perspective, you want to know what you're dealing with, and therefore, who's the best person or what's the best profession mm-hmm. to be dealing with this problem, or what combination of professions can be co-managing a case.
And also, yeah, you're talking about a little bit as like a holistic picture of the person. So you're mm-hmm. taking in consideration, like maybe you have problems in your neck, but maybe actually that's related to something else in
exactly.
your body. So it's not that you're giving, like, I don't know, you could go to a generalist doctor and you would just get anti-pain medicine.
Exactly.
The pain would go away for some time, but the problem would not be solved.
It, very, very much so. And mm-hmm. I guess that's also a lot of the people that come in that have tried you have a knee injury, and so they're looking at your knee all the time and say, well, the knee's oftentimes a victim, and actually you need to be looking at the foot, the hip, and actually the entire spine, because mm-hmm. the nerves actually start in the brain. The motor cortex, where the movement patterns come from, are in the brain. So actually, dysfunction anywhere along the path of that neurological impulse to get to the muscles that are moving the knee or the toe or whatever part in question, everything has to be looked at to make sure that, well, everything's functioning well, right? And then also we're not just looking at the mechanics of where the symptom is, it's how does that function in combination with the rest of the body, right? For example, when you walk, your right arm moves with the left leg, mm-hmm. right? You can walk without your arms, you could tie your arms up and still walk, but it's not going to be nearly as effective, right? And so, you know, if you try running with your arms tied up or walking, you know, you're going to waste a lot more energy to accomplish that because the function isn't what it should be. Now this makes me think of five more tangents that I could go on immediately.
I like it.
But you know, as another example, quick example, if you turn your head, right, the motion of turning your head is the combination of movement at a number of joints.
Yes.
So when one doesn't work well, something else is going to have to move more than normal to compensate. Mm-hmm. One thing I say a lot to people when they come in on the first visit, because I usually try to explain a little bit before I start working on them, is, well, imagine you're walking. Well, what happens is the brain says walk, right? You've already learned how to walk. Same thing as if you're playing a song mm-hmm. on the piano. When you do something enough times, it becomes a habituated movement. So the motor cortex in the brain says walk, right? Signal goes down the spinal cord, goes out to all the muscles, mm-hmm. but also other systems of the body, the cardiovascular system, the respiratory system, all the things that need to happen so that you can walk. Mm-hmm. So the brain says walk, motor cortex says walk. Now you start walking. And at the same time, all the joints, along with some muscles and tendons and ligaments, are all telling the brain as well where they are, where they're going, and how fast they're going. Which is why when you're walking, you don't need to look at your feet, mm-hmm. right? You have an awareness of yourself in space. So these two parts of the brain are always talking to each other. The reality part, where all your parts are, where your feet are, where your arms are, and the theory part, the motor cortex, which is telling the body what to do, mm-hmm. right? So everything should be where it should be, right? And so you're walking down the street, everything is where it should be, but when you hit your foot on a rock, then all that information goes to the brain. The brain says, one part says, your foot's back there. The other part, the motor cortex says, oh no, it should be up there, right? And so we have to have a new output, mm-hmm. right? And the new output is increased contraction of the muscles, mm-hmm. then the signal of the stabilizing muscles, then the signal goes to the legs. The legs go faster so you don't fall over. So the saber-tooth tiger doesn't eat you because if you can't stay on your feet, you can't survive. So from an evolutionary perspective, we're hardwired to stay on our feet. And that's a phenomenally important priority, right? Because if you can't stay balanced, you can't catch your food. You mm-hmm. can't run away from the enemy, right? It's right. We have to stay on our feet, which then means another tangent.
I love it. I'm just so...
which means that's an activation of your sympathetic nervous system.
Yes.
Right? And so let's break this down. Your entire central nervous system has two main parts. You have the autonomic nervous system. Obviously, that's everything that happens automatically, and that's 86% of your nervous system. The other part is the somatic nervous system. Mm-hmm. Soma means body, so that's just really your voluntary movement. Okay, so let's forget about the voluntary movement for a moment. The autonomic nervous system. I think more people have heard about this these days because there's a big push, I think, in mental health, so we hear about this more, which is wonderful. The autonomic nervous system can be divided into two more parts. We have the sympathetic nervous system. So sympathetic is the stress response. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how I always remembered it, right? Sympathetic stress. They both start with an S. And then, and then the other part is the parasympathetic. Mm-hmm. I always remember that one because it's parasympathetic peace, right? What happens when you're at rest, right? And that's where you've got growth, reproduction of cells, digestion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? But the thing is, if you're trying to stay balanced because there's a problem, then that's activation of the sympathetic nervous system, mm-hmm. which will always override the parasympathetic. Again, think about it like this. You're sitting there digesting your food, having a nice time, and a tiger jumps out at you. Guess what? Digestion doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's get on your feet and run mm-hmm. or hide or, well, not too many people are going to fight a tiger.
No,
maybe it's a bad example,
can.
But you understand, right?
Yeah.
And so that's another reason, specifically not just the nerve, as we talked about in the beginning, the nerve that goes to the digestive system that might be impinged or it might be have some pressure on it because of a spinal dysfunction. But maybe it's that there's a problem somewhere else, which is causing activation of the sympathetic nervous mm-hmm. system, which deactivates
the
parasympathetic
moment,
nervous system, mm-hmm. right? And so... So that's a little bit to unpack there, right? Mm-hmm. That's a little bit more information. So now you can start to look at maybe chiropractic a slightly different way. Am I treating your digestion? No. But is your digestion being impeded because you have a problem in your foot and you can't walk properly, mm-hmm. or in your neck or your jaw or your cranium or your spine, right? And so even though chiropractic started with the spine, really with as a focus, you might be coming to see me for a headache and I'm going to look at your foot. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think your foot is causing the headache. But from a mechanical perspective, and we have gravity, if there's a problem in the foot, anything on top can be affected. Mm-hmm. From a neurological perspective, that problem in your low back, well, that might be coming from the neck, both from a mechanics perspective, just like the right arm and left leg, right? The cervical spine is going to counter-rotate with the lumbar spine, but also just from simply a neurological perspective in the activation of different systems of the mm-hmm. body, right? One system might be impeded, so another system can work more.
But catching up on that, if that's happening for a very long time, mm-hmm. so if I'm saying like the one organ or one part or is working for another one because you're not aligned, mm-hmm. can it then be easily healed?
Easily? Well, that has
because
a lot.
Does it take that long? I mean, is it like also something about...
From a purely mechanics point of view, I could answer that one, but I don't think anything is purely mechanics. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's start with a question from a mechanics point of view. Can it be changed? Yes, it can always be changed. That's absolutely the case. Can it be 100% corrected? Well, that's a different answer, right? How long has a problem? How bad is the problem?
That's what I mean.
How long
like
has it been there?
If you keep on...
Right. Because remember I said about learning to walk and you don't have to learn how to walk mm-hmm. every day. Well, we have to habituate movements, mm-hmm. right? Because if you have to learn how to walk every day, you'd never survive.
No.
Right. So that's why one of the reasons we learn to habituate movements. So when you've had a problem for a long time, you compensate, you start compensating immediately. Mm-hmm. And then the more often you do that compensation, the more that gets rewired into the motor cortex. So you have to change that function. Again, just like learning to play the piano, same idea. You could type, maybe you can type really well. That means you can play the piano, but now you have to learn different sequences and patterns to play a song instead of making a document, right? Mm-hmm. And then also you can get degenerative effects in the joint as well, right? That's where you'll get decreased disc height, you'll get arthrosis. Arthrosis mm-hmm. is really something that hasn't been moving for a long enough time, so it doesn't get hydrated, the joint. So the joint capsule, you know, it diminishes a little bit, and then you get calcification around it and it looks all crazy on the x-ray and everything. But really it means that joint hasn't been working properly. So if we start to introduce motion into that joint, it has to be done well. It has to be done safely. It has to be done with proper mechanics. That's why we go to school for a long time to do it instead of just taking a weekend seminar. I mean, mm-hmm. we do take weekend seminars for continuing education, but I mean,
yes.
we start out with getting a proper education. It's at least improving function, but I'm not going to tell you we're going to undo your arthrosis either,
well,
right?
Yeah,
there's limitations
I mean,
of matter,
but if you have something, if you feel that something is not right, maybe if you would go earlier to a chiropractor.
The earlier the better.
That's what
always.
I meant to say also. Like sometimes, as you say, people come yeah. to you as a last resort.
Right.
And then maybe it has been years.
Yeah. But also that question too. I mean, and again, I just answered your question more from a mechanical standpoint. Mm-hmm. Let me come back to that point in a second. The other question is, this gets a little bit more metaphysical, but how quickly do you want to get better?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's,
can you accept the fact that you're just going to get better?
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be a whole mm-hmm. other conversation, but it's a very interesting conversation, is the mentality. You know, do you think you're going to take 50 visits to get better, mm-hmm. or do you think you're going to take 5 visits mm-hmm. to get better?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and do you think you're going to get gradually? I do think what you... think what you believe has a big impact on how you're going to progress.
Yeah, it comes here. I mean, all this podcast that we do, like all these different people who've said something, it always comes back to
right.
that point too.
The nice thing is if we had this conversation mm-hmm. 20 years ago, mm-hmm. some people listening and hearing that might think you're a little bit wacko.
Yes.
but I think nowadays
it's coming up.
It's a lot more researched, mm-hmm. a lot more understood, a lot more accepted. There's a long way to go in really understanding all of the mentality and the metaphysics that go into it. But I think a lot more people are really willing to recognize that their emotions have a big impact on their physical health.
I can see how you're living this at every day. Yeah. You see
it's,
all these
it's
people.
Such a, honestly, it's such a fun job. It really
no,
is.
I can feel that definitely. And I think you're really, also knowing more and more since you have seen so many people coming to you.
Yeah.
You've solved so many.
It's phenomenally fun all day long because you're just helping people. And on top of that, you're seeing results. And it's so cool. And so this sort of coming back to your original question as far as coming in sooner.
Yes, like coming in when you feel something is not right. Like my little toe is not good. I wait until the whole foot is hurting or I mm-hmm. go right away.
So this is, again, it's kind of a philosophical discussion because from what we're brought up in Western society with probably more of a medical ideology in our heads, right? If you have a problem, go get it checked out. That makes really good sense. You mm-hmm. should get something checked out mm-hmm. as soon as you have pain, right? Pain is a sign that there's a problem. Mm-hmm. But I probably see a few new patients every week that come in and they bring me an X-ray. They already have an X-ray. They already have an MRI. They have something. And so the story is very similar every time, right? Every week, not every new patient. I'm just saying this happens a few times mm-hmm. a week where they'll come in, they'll tell me that they've had a back problem for 5 months, six okay. months, a year, 2 weeks, whatever it is. 2 weeks, they only have an X-ray. They don't have an MRI at that point. But I'll look at the imaging and I'll say, sorry, this problem's 10 years old or this problem's 20 years old. And they'll mm-hmm. say, no. I've never had any problem, no mm-hmm. pain, no mm-hmm. nothing mm-hmm. until, 2 months ago, I picked up a bottle of water. I did mm-hmm. this, that, and then bang. And now they have pain. So they went to the doctor. The doctor says, oh yeah, you have herniated your disc. And I'm telling them, no. I mean, yes, there's a herniated
disc,
yes.
But it was a long time back.
But, mm-hmm. but you can tell that it's been a process that's been going there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do you wait until you have a symptom?
Okay.
From a medical model, absolutely. Because how else are you going to know? Mm-hmm. Another way of doing it, I don't know if they still do this or not. They probably do. The doctors will go into the schools or just pediatric mm-hmm. and check for a scoliosis, for example.
They
just do a screening. Mm-hmm. Okay, they do that. That's good. Then that would be a screening to say, okay, well, these kids don't have any symptoms, but we're going to go check this class and check all the kids and make sure to do a screening if there's a scoliosis or not, because if you can see it visually, we should investigate further. Okay, that's a preventative measure to try and look more proactively, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's great. I would say the same thing about chiropractic. From a lifestyle perspective, mm-hmm. I'm always thinking really, I guess you could say in terms of performance, right? If everything's functioning properly, that's what we're trying to achieve. We're not trying to achieve get rid of your back pain or your headache. We are, I want you to feel better, but I'm trying to make you function better. If you're functioning better, you're going to perform better.
And you're not going to maybe come to that point where...
Right. If we can prevent mm-hmm. you getting to a point where you have to go mm-hmm. in to see somebody, mm-hmm. well, that's even better. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That would be like exercising before you're obese, mm-hmm. having good nutrition before you become diabetic, mm-hmm. right? Like, yes, once you have these health problems, you should, of course, see your medical doctor to look at that pathogenic side for sure, but you should absolutely be looking at your nutrition and your exercise and all of these other factors in health that would all complement each other. Right. So again, now instead of coming into me limping because you have a herniated disc, mm-hmm. which I'm happy to treat, like that, I'm working on disc mechanics. I'm just saying, how much better could it have been? And you would never know this if you came 10 years ago mm-hmm. or 20 years mm-hmm. ago, because maybe now we've prevented a whole set of problems that you never knew you would have had. You never would have had. Mm-hmm. Now we don't know it. You can't quantify that, not unless you do large population studies. But actually, having said that, there was one done in Italy that was done a bunch of years ago, and it was over the course of how many years was it? It was something like 7 or 8 years, and they found that people who were doing chiropractic regularly, they decreased their sick days from work.
That's what I want to say. So it's also economically interesting for a system.
For a system,
that's
it's
what
phenomenally
I'm saying. So
important.
You could prevent a lot of costs. Yeah. If you would maybe have people more going first, I mean, going as like a screening type of...
Right. If everybody was getting adjusted, you know, getting checked and adjusted regularly. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say checked and adjusted regularly is because there's constant stresses
in life.
That's
what I want to ask. So what is regularly? You see,
regularly
what
for
say?
Me would be like once a month, mm-hmm. right? Now,
life changes. Yeah. We have different stress.
I'm aware
emotions. We have different things happening.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I've had some patients who tell me they'll go to an osteopath, and the osteopath says come in like once a year, mm-hmm. right? So I do recognize that I'm suggesting at a higher frequency, mm-hmm. right? But again, it still comes back to the philosophy of what are you doing, and why are you doing it, mm-hmm. right? If we want the body to be functioning properly, then as soon as there's dysfunction, you would want to treat that before that dysfunction gets rewired mm-hmm. into a compensatory mm-hmm. problem with or pattern that causes additional problems. And the thing is all the problems that I find, whether they're physical, whether they're a herniated disc or a headache or anything in between, well, what's the cause? This is just a blanket statement here, right? But the problems that I find are all related to the inability to adapt to stress. Now, stress is, there's three categories, right? We have physical stress, emotional stress, and chemical stress. Physical stress, this is the easy one. You got in a car accident, of course. That's too much stress at one moment,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And sitting in a chair at work. Mm-hmm. Well, that's different. That's we call that a micro stress, but it's repeated mm-hmm. minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month year by year, right? And even if you have great posture, great ergonomics, which you should do, that would be helpful from a preventative point of view, but you will still get problems. Mm-hmm. The reason being is you're not moving,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're not moving, you're not stimulating the brain. Roger Sperry, he won the Nobel Peace, the no, not Nobel Peace Prize, sorry. No, he won a prize, I can't remember which one it was, specifically for brain research.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, one of his quotes is that the spine is the windmill for the brain.
The windmill for the brain,
right?
Interesting.
So
it's,
you're right, the motion is what's the stimulation for the brain to be able to now function properly.
Right.
So if you have decreased function, you're going to have decreased stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so sitting in the chair all day long, even with great posture and great ergonomics, which is good, you're still causing problems from the because you're not getting enough motion, which is brain stimulation. You're not getting enough motion, which causes fluid dynamic issues with the disc itself. Right. And so we need to keep moving. Right. So those are two examples of physical stresses, a car accident and sitting in a chair, mm-hmm. right? Opposite ends of the spectrum, but still a stress that built up over time will cause a problem. But then what about the emotional stress? Mm-hmm. Remember we talked about the tiger, right? When you have an emotional stress, you immediately activate the sympathetic mm-hmm. nervous system, which means you have to fight or flight, mm-hmm. right? Fight or run or hide.
Mm-hmm.
Take your pick, but do something now or die,
mm-hmm.
right? So, mm-hmm. so you have a stress, right? Maybe it's you've got a deadline you're working on at work. Maybe it's a communication problem with at home or a boss or a coworker or something like that, right? You know, years and years ago, if you get emotionally stressed, you run away. So okay, that stress is over with now. Or you kill your enemy.
Yeah, right.
These are extremes
actually,
here. I'm sorry.
Put it like that,
I'm sorry.
But yes.
Right. But then, but
yeah.
The thing is you had the physical stress and the stress is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go and you go for your run at the end of the day, which is great to unload, like
mm-hmm,
phenomenally, and even
there.
From a research mm-hmm. perspective, it's phenomenal in helping to unload the physical effects of the body mm-hmm. on the body from that emotional stress. Right. Forget about just even the fitness part. Just emotionally, that's very beneficial to exercise. But you didn't take away the stress,
mm-hmm.
right? The deadline is still there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Your coworker is still there,
still there yeah.
right? So the point being is we have constant stresses mm-hmm. all the time, which means that changes your enzyme, hormone levels, your posture, your physical movement patterns, the muscle tension, everything. And you're constantly rewiring in a negative way
mm-hmm.
all of these movement patterns of the body. And then the more you do it, the more you're reinforcing it. So that's why I say, like, yeah, once a month honestly, I get checked like probably once a week.
So are you doing it? I mean, you're not doing
I don't do it myself. I can't, you can't physically, you can't use the right techniques. Mm-mm. You can't use the right mechanics on yourself to correct something. Yes, you can do self-manipulation, mm-hmm. but you can't really do self-correction. Mm-hmm. So I get treated myself quite regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For all the stress.
For everything, yeah.
You don't seem like you're stressed.
We've all got tons of stresses.
No, of course. But I'm saying like you're working on it and you're doing something about it.
I'm always working on it. I'm always working on it. So yes, I have to do lots of stuff for myself too, mm-hmm. of course.
Mm-hmm. Like everyone.
Yeah.
Are there any counterindications though? I don't want to be like, but is there anything you would say? No, that's
well. This
really
is
not.
Where you just have to know what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. There's always a way to get around something if you know what you're dealing mm-hmm. with, mm-hmm. right? If somebody has osteoporosis, right? I'm not cracking their bones, mm-hmm. right? There's actually that's not even technically correct because it's not the bone that we're cracking, right? It's the articulation mm-hmm. that cavitates. But nonetheless, yes. There's lots of things. I mean, it's hard to go through a whole list of things, but all it really means is you alter your approach.
Yeah, so I'm saying like basically you can come for any kind of ailment and then the chiropractician has to like adapt his
exactly. way of, you just have to adapt, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. and again, yeah, it's all just adaptation. You know, there's certain areas maybe you don't want to touch. If you have a, you know, an implant, you know, I'm not touching that. Right. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I can't work around it. Right? And how you work around it might have to be very, very soft. Right. But again, if we go back to that hitting your foot on a rock analogy, you don't have to do anything hard. Now, mm-hmm. some people get a better result if I work on them hard. That's mm-hmm. for certain.
Works for me, for example. I'm this kind of person who likes yeah. that, but there are people who don't. So,
but yeah. we have to remember, though, that what we're trying to change is not just the mechanics of the dysfunctional joint. Mm-hmm. Trying to remember that hitting your rock or your foot on the rock story where you get the yeah. different input of the brain. Well, if we get the right input into the brain because you made a correct force in a correct direction, mm-hmm. you can still influence the motor pattern, right? So for example, I also treat horses and dogs.
Yes, I right? read about that and I forgot to mention
that. But I'm not
that,
cracking
yeah.
horses.
No, right? wouldn't do that
either. There's a lot of muscle there. Those yeah. are big bones. Yeah. Really what's happening, and the horses get great results. That's actually a whole other philosophical thing in regards to people too.
Yes.
Because if you're making the correct input into the horse's spine, then that means you're making the correct input into the brain. And you see results with animals so much faster than you do with people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that? Well, my thought, I'm not sure if it's my theory. It's just my thought. It's the thought that I agree. The theory I agree with mm-hmm. is that you adjust the animal, the dog, you know, the horse. Well, they're not worried about their mortgage payments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you. You
know, I'm not saying they don't have stresses. They do, but
very different.
It's a different than us, right? Mm-hmm. They're you know, they're more worried about, you know, when am I eating next and mm-hmm. when am I going to play next? Mm-hmm. When's my owner coming home?
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, like, sure,
it may
sure.
be somebody who works, you know, a dog trainer might disagree and say they have more stresses. That's fair enough. But I think you get my point, right? Mm-hmm. You can walk out of my office and then you're immediately thinking about your deadlines at work again mm-hmm. and this problem and that problem and everything else and all the different facets of your life. And I think the animals are not worried so much about those things. I think they're more receptive to what you're trying to do, which then comes back to the question of how quickly do you want to get better? All right. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that's a interesting topic, which actually that, again, and I would love to talk just
yeah,
about that for an hour too, right?
Like
that's because that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say one thing because it's come to mind and I probably shouldn't say this. But I'm going to say it anyway. There was a president of the first chiropractic college I went to that he was one of the really establishers of the profession, mm-hmm. and he started his own chiropractic college. His name was Sid Williams, and we used to listen to him speak probably like every Friday or like at lunch kind of thing. We'd do this assembly. It was just on. So we had all of our science courses and stuff, but then we'd have a philosophy kind of thing at lunch on Fridays. And if he spoke, he had some interesting stories, and I thought, man, this guy is crazy, like mental. But and he did have some arrogance about him. But I remember speaking with him once, and he said to me, and he shook my hand, and he said, if I shake your hand, the person next to you is going to get better. Now, I brushed that off because I just thought, this guy's crazy, he's senile, mm-hmm. he's you know, right? But, you know, I've been in practice for 20 years now, mm-hmm. and there's an element of, we'll say, metaphysics that I think are very important when it comes to healing. And I think that's on both sides, mm-hmm. right? Now, when I first started working, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to get better just by me shaking your hand, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. that's really silly. I definitely didn't have the confidence that that guy had. But when you start seeing a problem, this problem and that problem, enough times, and you see that this problem gets better, that problem gets better, and then you build more and more confidence. And as you build more and more confidence, then you, as a patient, says, this person's really, they know
you
what they're doing.
You can feel that, yes, definitely.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, when you have more confidence in the person that you're seeing,
you're more open to accept what's
I'm willing going, to yeah. bet mm-hmm. that that's going to be helpful in your mm-hmm. healing journey. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a medical doctor, a chiropractor, or everybody in between, right? When if somebody's trying to put, you know, they're doing acupuncture yeah. and they're like shaking their head yeah. and they don't, right? That yeah. it's like, you know that they don't have confidence in what yeah. they're doing. Yeah, but if somebody yeah. has confidence in what they're doing, well, that mm-hmm. that helps. And how open you are helps. I don't want to say that, I don't want to go too far in that route either, because if you have full confidence in me and I have full confidence that I'll help you, that is no excuse in any way, not a single percentage point. That's no excuse for me not doing the best job I can. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's again a physical aspect to it as well, for sure. You have to know what you're doing. And like I said, that's why I love X-rays.
Because it's tangible again. Now you can see what it is. You have an
objective
image.
Information, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I bet you if there's some medical doctors listening here too, they're probably, you know, they might be thinking, oh, well, an MRI is better. And in many cases, from a diagnostic point of mm-hmm. view, I would completely agree with that. Absolutely. I just keep talking about X-rays because when I'm treating somebody, that person, if I have an X-ray, that means they were in a standing position, so they're loading the joint. So the engineers who are listening will completely get this, understand this. Mm-hmm. From a functional perspective, if I'm going to help you and you bring me both an X-ray and an MRI, I'm going to look at the MRI because I like them. They're pretty pictures and you get to diagnose a lot more things. But I'm using the X-ray to actually do the treatment, right? Because sometimes you see somebody who, if you're only looking at the structural components, what you see on the X-ray can be very different than what you see on the MRI. And the difference is the weight bearing.
Yeah, if you're standing, it's a different yeah. Thing than if you're lying.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So wow. That's how I'm...
Yeah, we could go on for a long time. I have one more question though, and then we try to get to a point because yeah, our podcasts can last, but not forever.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah. I just looked at the time and as far as I'm concerned, we're just getting started.
Yes, but I can see that. I can see that. Maybe we should do a series about this. I have one more question about. We talked about adults. We talked about stress. We talked about animals. We talked about older people. But mm-hmm. what about kids and babies? Because
absolutely,
they actually didn't really live that much yet in terms of having.
No, but they were born.
Uh huh.
Right. So that usually means, I mean, how you. How many women do you know have had a baby where everything just went perfect?
Not many.
Right? And even when things are perfect, we'll say perfect, or even just quote-unquote normal, mm-hmm. oftentimes the baby's head can be turned and mm-hmm. pulled. Mm-hmm. What about forceps, vacuums? Mm-hmm. Right? Don't get me wrong. All these things are sometimes necessary for sure. I'm not debating that. I'm just saying it's a common mm-hmm. practice that mm-hmm. occurs. than learning to walk. I mean, you fall over 50 times a day.
Yes.
Right? Or let's say you're being carried around as a baby and you're sort of sitting on your mom or dad's forearm. That's a lot of constant pressure on their sacrum before they're weight bearing, right? They're not able to weight bear on their own. Right. So these are just a couple of ideas, mm-hmm. or even just a cesarean.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, a cesarean, theoretically, if might be the least, a lesser amount of stress, but theoretically on the baby, I'm not talking about mom. I'm talking about you're right. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, in theory, if the incision mm-hmm. is large enough okay. and you pull the baby out, then there was less stress.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what really happens? Right. So that mm-hmm. is debatable. But here's this. When you breathe in, your head expands a little bit. When you breathe out, your sacrum constricts a little bit. When you breathe in, and then breathing in and out, it creates what's called a cranial sacral pump. That gets kickstarted during the birth process because mm-hmm. the head has to get squished to go through the birth canal.
Mm-hmm.
Cesarean section babies don't get that.
Yeah.
Right. So oftentimes a bit of cranial work. Now, a chiropractor can do, well, maybe not all chiropractors, I don't know. The chiropractors in our office, we all do cranial work, but maybe you wanted to see a cranial sacral therapist or an osteopath who does cranial sacral work, right? The point is even when a cesarean section, if it's done with no stresses on the baby, there's still a reason why you could have mm-hmm. work done to allow an improvement in health, improvement in function.
Basically, everyone could just come and see you.
Exactly. And here's the thing. If everybody was coming and getting checked regularly, mm-hmm. most people would say, why am I doing this? Because I don't have any problems.
Mm-hmm. But they don't have any problems.
That's the point, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. And so is preventatively. Again, kind of like you should exercise regularly. Don't wait until you're obese.
Mm-hmm.
If you are obese, great. Well, not great that you're obese, but great start. Exercising, not to say you should be this ideal body weight, but saying exercise is important for health. Mm-hmm. And maybe for this reason or that reason, you're never going to shed any weight because of this mm-hmm. other, right? And that's fine. I'm not talking about body image and things. I am saying matter what, exercise is helpful, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it might need to be adapted this way or that way. No matter what, nutrition is important, right? And that's kind of where I'm coming from, is that same ideology, that salutogenic ideology of trying to do what we can to improve our health.
If they want to come and see you, they can find more information on luxchiro.lu. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For your time.
Thank you.
I think we could go on.
Yeah, yeah. I've got 50
Maybe
pages in my head
that.
Right now.
We'll do that. And for now, yes, be well. CMCM unterstützt den Podcast Be Well, der gesunde Podcast zu Lützeburg, und produziert geht denn bei Mosquito. Wenn dir vielleicht eine Idee hat für ein Thema oder so sehr Feedback, bewell@mosquito.lu oder auf Social Media.